This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
on every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a very good Tuesday morning to you and yours. That's right. The last day of January 2023. It is DiPietro. It is Rothenberg. It is you on 98.7 ESPN. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Dave.
You sound chipper and excited.
I'm not going to lie to you. I feel fantastic.
Really? Why? I mean, not that I'm not thrilled to hear that, but why do you feel so good
this
morning?
I think you know why, or you should know why.
Is this Aaron Rodgers?
No, it's not Aaron Rodgers.
Well, is this hockey related?
Oh, it's hockey related, buddy.
Is this Islanders related?
This is, in fact, Islanders related.
Oh, right off the jump, huh?
Right off the jump.
So explain this, because I can't give much.
Let's do that hockey.
Analysis. This is a good trade for the Isles.
Yeah, I mean, you name the two things right now that the Isles struggle with, which is scoring goals. And their power play. And that addresses both needs. You gave up a lot. Listen, you gave up a lot. I like Anthony Beauvillier. I think he's a good player. And, you know, the prospect you gave up is going to be a good player. But they're trying to win now. And it's a top 12 protected first round pick. But you got a guy that, I mean, he solves a lot of your problems. Right now, the Islanders leading goal scorer. Goals. Just strictly goals.
Let me guess.
Okay, tell me who it is.
More than halfway through the season, right?
We've played... Yeah, what, 52
right.
games?
So we're way more than halfway through the season.
Is it Huska?
No, it's not Huska. I'm going to say, I mean, you want a number or you want a guy?
I thought, whatever, if you give me
I'll give you
two.
I'll give you a number.
Richard Krzyzewski.
No, I don't think it's Krzyzewski. I'm going to say 13 goals.
That's wrong. It's a little low. It's 19.
Which is really not much.
And it's Brock Nelson. And the most power play goals currently on the Islanders is J.G. Pageau with 5.
Which is nothing.
Which is not great. Bo Horvat, he comes in. He's got 31 goals and 11 of those on the power play.
So immediately, he is your best guy in the power play.
Immediately. And now now we have to make a decision as to where we play him. He's a natural center. You'd like him to play with Barzell, I would imagine, because that's really what they've struggled to do is find someone that can play with Barzell. But, I mean, as far as strength up the middle, between Barzell, Nelson, Horvat, Zizekas, Pageau, I mean, they're good up the middle. Now we just – those two wins were big, I think. Those two wins going into the break, feel good about yourselves, but lose trying to win. They have to make the playoffs. They have to do whatever it takes.
So it would be an epic failure if they didn't get into the postseason.
Yes.
And – I mean, let's be
honest. You can't go back-to-back seasons in a new building and not make the playoffs.
It's a fair point. And last year, there were the kind of built-in excuses about they had to start on the road, and it made it so difficult, and they never recovered. But that's not the case this year, right?
No, it can't be the case this year. There's no excuses this year. Outside of I don't think they did enough in the offseason, but
right.
Hopefully this move rectifies that.
In the offseason, they did nothing. But Lou is 80.
Lou is not a young man still.
So he's got to go win this thing.
Well, this could be his last year. I don't know. There's some speculation that this could be his last year. But, yeah, I mean, he's trying to win now. And the Islanders, every Islanders fan I know expected this to be a playoff team.
Well, I'm happy for you.
Step in the right direction, buddy.
I'm happy for you. So that's what we do on the show. My happiness is your happiness, and my sadness is your sadness.
Oh, I love it. I love that we share.
By the way, you mentioned Brock Nelson. How about Brock Santillo?
That's sad. Listen.
Brock, that's a tough man.
Yeah, that's a man's man right
there.
That's
like if he goes to prison, not that he will, RJ, of course, but if he were to go to prison, he's fine. Brock Santillo.
Yeah, you don't mess with that.
Come on. If you were scrolling through Netflix and you saw Brock Santillo and you watched the preview, you'd want to watch that movie.
Yeah, but it could be, maybe it's not just a movie like that. I mean, maybe he's on, I mean, he's a He's on Yellowstone.
Brock Santillo. Right?
Working with the Duttons.
Yeah, I don't know that show, so I can't give an answer.
Because you're not a real man. Because you're not a real man.
I think that's fair.
How you haven't fully invested yourself in Yellowstone is embarrassing.
I don't like the westerny kind of
it's
stuff.
It's not westerny.
It's on a farm.
It's like the
1800s.
Oh, it's not the 1800s, you idiot.
That kind of thing's not for me.
It's set in the present.
Oh, is that
great
right?
Show. It's a great show.
It's a present western.
And it's not a western. It's a great show.
It's on a farm, I think. But you're burying the lead. Brock Santillo is a name.
I do like Brock Santillo. I'm not going to lie.
RJ,
I like it a lot.
RJ, does it have any hope? You go home today and you see Ange and you pat her belly. You say, sweetheart, I got the name Brock.
No, I don't think Brock's going to gain traction.
Why?
RJ, do you talk to the belly yet?
I mean, we have, you know, light conversation.
Yeah.
Does it ever respond to you?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Has the baby started kicking yet?
No kicking. Not there
no
yet.
Kicking?
No kicking yet.
No, it's not even halfway.
Yeah, right.
Well, I don't remember when the kicking starts.
Well,
like you pretended like you didn't have a child for a while.
Well, no, but that has nothing to do with knowing when things happen. I just don't have a recollection of at what point they start kicking.
Hold on. If you weren't fully invested when the baby was an infant.
I didn't really want Alex.
You already told us live on radio that you're not the infant stage is not for you.
It's not for me. Yeah.
Okay. Why would the in vitro phase be all what you're about?
Well, because I remember the excitement over Sherry being pregnant with Ben. I remember all that stuff. I just don't remember
it's not
the
in
timing.
In vitro, is it? Isn't it? Is it in utero? What is it?
In utero. Yeah. In
utero.
Vitro is when they implant. I think.
Yeah. In utero.
But you know what? I see what you did there, and I didn't correct you. You wanted to sound smart.
Right.
Right.
That's right.
And why stand in the way of that?
Because I'm a doula. And you know,
because that's terrific. By the way, 1-800-919-3776. Did you see the financials came out throughout the NFL yesterday? Did you see some of those numbers?
I did see some of those numbers.
The franchise tag is out. The salary cap is out. Did you see the franchise tag for quarterback and running back, which I think affects us the most here, right? In New York, those two positions.
No, not you think. It absolutely affects us the most.
Well, I was thinking about the Jets. The Jets don't have anybody they're going to put the franchise tag on, right?
Not a quarterback or a face of a franchise running back.
No, they certainly don't. So $32 million for the quarterback, $10 million for the running back. Does that – I mean, those are the numbers we kind of thought they would be. Now it's official. You know, the more I think about it, the more I think maybe there's a chance the Giants use the franchise tag on Daniel Jones.
Well, here's the thing, though. All that – the problem with the franchise tag – is all that money goes directly onto your salary cap.
Correct.
There's no maneuverability around that.
Right,
so if there's other things that you want to improve, yeah, right, you're locked in on that. And that would, I mean, that feels like Saquon Barkley is gone.
You would think so, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're okay with that, I just think the benefit to having, if you believe in Daniel Jones, I mean, listen, if you don't believe in Daniel Jones, yeah, give him the franchise tag. Add some talent around him
right.
And see if he's worth giving a long-term deal
to.
But
that's
if you
not
do
the worst thing in the world, right? Yeah, two legitimate receivers. You shore up the offensive line. You know, you make the defense better. And let's see what Daniel Jones is with a better team around him.
Yeah, but how does that affect your ability to add said receivers if that 32 goes directly on your salary cap?
Well, I think you get creative then, right? I mean, what happens with Leonard Williams? Like, there are guys, Kenny Golladay obviously gone. Like, there are guys that, I mean, maybe you don't bring back Saquon. I don't know what it does.
Well, I think it starts with the discussion between him, his agent, and the front office as to what they're looking for. And if they're acting crazy and they want, you know, an amount of money you don't feel comfortable with, you have there is the threat of the franchise tag.
Right. If you intend to keep him, and I can't envision a way the Giants do not have him as starting quarterback next year. Would you agree with that?
No, Joe Shane said as much.
Right, definitively almost, that he's going to be the quarterback next year. At least there's a fallback plan, right? There's an escape hatch here where if we try to negotiate with him and we just can't get it done, something favorable for the team and good for him too, that there's a press button in case of emergency that we can always say, all right, you know, we'll pay you the 32 and we'll figure it out the rest of the way so we can add pieces around you and see what you are.
Yeah, well, they have the leverage with the franchise tag. But as soon as that franchise tag goes to Daniel Jones, then you don't have any, I mean, there's no leverage with Saquon.
You lose flexibility.
Right. Your flexibility and the leverage with Saquon. I mean, Saquon, if Saquon wants $14 million, it didn't feel, at the press conference, like that was going to be something that they were going to be willing to do. Like Daniel Jones definitely back. Saquon's a good player, and this whole spiel kind of dancing around whether or not he'll be back. It feels like if they want to keep both, Daniel Jones would get the deal.
Yes.
That works for both sides, which will give them more cap flexibility, and then Saquon will either come to, you know, a team, I don't want to say team-friendly deal, but a deal that's reasonable for both sides, or they can just slap the tag on him.
But he even said it in his, like, postseason, you know, media availability. He's like, I know I've been hurt, and I know that I've had some strikes against me. Like, he understands. Now, what
no, I know, but he's saying, like, initially I think he always thought, because most guys are like this, especially someone as good as Saquon, that when it's his time to get paid, he'll be the one that resets the market because he's that good, especially with, you know, how popular he is here with the Giants fans in New York. I don't think that meant, yeah, I'm okay with the $12 million that you offered me. I don't need to be at 16, but I'd like to be somewhere around 14, 14 and a half.
I get it, but I guess the question is, how badly do you want to stay with the Giants, and how much, and you would know this better than me, how much money can he make just solely on being in New York?
Probably quite a bit, but I mean, again, that depends on how good his agent and his marketing team.
I got to think they're pretty good, no?
Yeah, well, I mean,
he's a good pretty looking, easy guy to root for.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good looking kid,
and he's a recognizable name, you know. Right, dude, right, I mean, now,
many, you see how many 26 jerseys are running around.
People love him.
Life, they love him.
People love him. Very defensive. Listen, I say it all the time, and you do as well. You don't take a running back second. You just don't do it. And the only reason that there's any pushback is how likable and how actually good he, like, he's really good, really, really good.
Well, here's the thing, though. In saying that, though, if there's a running back that you love, I was thinking about this a lot. If there's a running back you love and you promise yourself you're not going to get emotionally attached to him, like having a running back for like a first round running back 5 years and then going back to back franchise tags,
and then
isn't terrible. Yeah, you're 7 years, it'd be seven of his best years, then you're done with it.
Right,
and it's not
and
awful.
But if you're on the verge of winning, like for the Cowboys to take where did Elliott go? Four?
Four.
Right. So to take Elliott four and win right away, or be competitive to win right away, I guess you can make that argument. For the Giants, who were miles away and thinking that they were a really game-changing running back away, he had a terrific rookie year, by the way. They were nowhere near anything. Was just one of the dumbest moves any franchise could make. Set them back years.
Right. Right, but that was a move made out of, I'll call it desperation, whatever it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, I think give Eli I think one desperation last chance. Is right. I think that's fair.
Yeah, it was. Listen, it wasn't in not because of Saquon the player, but because of the other options. When you have a pick that high and you have a bunch of teams that are trying to jump up to get a quarterback, there were other options that they had to trade out of there, accumulate more picks.
Trade out of there. If you didn't love anybody, or nobody jumped off the page to you, trading out of there was absolutely the thing to do. 100%.
Well, yeah, I mean, Quentin Nelson, like, there were plenty of things that you could have done. I'm just saying that if you were a team in the middle of the pack or at the end of the first round, there is a benefit to having the guy in control for 5 years and then the ability to franchise him twice. Right? Because, I mean, second round, you only get 4 years. At least with the first round, you get that fifth year. If the guy's good, right? You use him 5 years, two
but
more, that's seven.
But the second pick? I mean,
no, I'm not. Listen, I'm not defending the second pick at all. But I think part of the problem with these guys that go so high is now they have to justify why they took them so high, and they end up getting these monster second deals that they end up regretting.
Right, right. No, that's fair. Like Zeke, right? I mean, you always regret them. But the thing, my thing would be, can I just take a running back between rounds 3 through 5 almost every year, plug him in there, and be fine?
It could be fine, yeah, but I mean, there are certain running backs that just are,
yeah, of course,
are better, but different.
But look at the kid on Houston; he was terrific, right? I mean, look at Elijah Mitchell, terrific. And then if I'm in a position where I'm going,
Elijah Mitchell's
for it,
always hurt. I wouldn't use that as a great example.
Okay, fine. But now I'm in a position where I can go for it, and then you know what? Then I make a trade for Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, but you're trading. I mean, you had to trade a first round pick for Christian McCaffrey.
Did they traded a one?
Yeah. What did you think they traded?
I thought it was a two. RJ, they traded a one for McCaffrey?
No, we didn't have a one.
Oh.
Oh, he didn't trade a one for
McCaffrey?
Oh, look
who's back. He went out at the 38.
There's the 42. Stop it.
I'm back.
You're not
score
gone.
One. Score one for Rothenberg.
No, it was just second, third, and fourth. Second, third, and fourth, and a fifth.
Wow. Right.
That's still a lot. I mean, you're still giving up a lot there, though.
Second, third, fourth, and a fifth. Okay. Would you trade the second, third, fourth, and fifth for the number two overall pick right now?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, but I wouldn't take a running back.
And there's the point as well. All right, 1-800-919-3776. So, I mean, NFL, we're one game left, and I think we're all rooting, right? We can go around the world. Everyone's rooting for Kansas City. Everybody's
except the Empire State Building.
What a disgusting building.
And all the frauds yesterday, they were like, oh, why is everyone so upset?
You know who had that take?
Who?
Your guy.
Your guy. You're trying to pit us together.
I'm not trying to do anything. Your guy, Michael Kay, could not understand the outrage.
Let me ask you if it was different, because I don't.
If it was white and red for the Red Sox.
If it was the Red Sox colors, yeah.
I think he would be beside himself.
Or the Astros colors. Would he have a nervous breakdown?
Could you imagine if the Astros cheating scandal, and it was, why is the Empire State Building in those colors? Oh, it's for the Astros. MLB put in an application, and we granted it. Could you imagine what people would do?
They would have, Kay would be outraged.
Outraged. Outraged. So you're calling your guy Kay, what, a fraud?
I don't think he's a fraud.
You think he's tremendously wrong?
No, I don't think he's fully invested in a football team the way that you are or I am. He's not a diehard Giants fan or a diehard
But he
Jets
likes
fan.
The Giants, and he is a New Yorker. I'm surprised by that take. Very surprised.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
You get a check every year from the Islanders. We appreciate you. Please accept $20
million. You understand how disrespectful what you're saying is.
Well, I speak the truth is what I speak. You make fun of me and my wife and my upbringing and everything, and then I take a shot at you, and now I'm disrespectful. You started it. You poked the bear. Poke it. Go ahead, poke it. Poke it. You want some of this smoke? Let's go.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
All right, that's what I'll do.
Okay, but hold on. Before we take this
pause.
On 98.7 ESPN.
The bees are buzzing in the tree.
Who realized there'd be this much feistiness on just a generic Tuesday? On 98.7 ESPN, this portion of the show driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, the number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. Whew, that was a feisty hour.
Feisty hour. I mean, this is the problem with the show, though, at this time.
What?
When you wake up this early in the morning, you're saying stuff. You don't remember what you're saying. That noise you made, I forgot that this happened today.
I didn't realize it was today either.
It's because there's so many noises that you make.
Well, I'm a noise maker. You could hire me out for parties just to make noises for you. Yeah.
God bless you.
How does a sneeze get thrown into the noise maker?
I said
I'm telling you what, RJ. Honestly, you guys didn't see it because you guys were in the you're obviously in the other room. Well, when I'm doing my read yesterday, and all of a sudden I look to my out of my peripherals, I look to my right, and he's under the desk searching for his coffee
sleeve.
Coffee sleeve.
The coffee sleeve fell off, went under the thing. You know, what should I do? Leave it?
Woo-hoo,
no.
Over here.
I'm respectful of the coffee sleeve. I picked it up and I threw it away.
You turn into Tom Cruise, and it's like Mission Impossible now. You're on a mission under the desk.
Yeah, I'm glued to the wall all of a sudden.
Right, he can't move. He can't stretch his arm enough to play to play sound with the touchscreen.
That Schefter was out of my reach.
He can climb under.
I stand by it.
Coffee sleeve was not though.
No, I had to move for it. Listen, if there was one piece of sound that I had to play, which made sense, that I had to touchscreen the thing, I would do it. But every sound bite, I'm not doing that. There's no way.
But they make it so easy.
Blah 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 blah. I'm not doing it.
You better figure it out, because yesterday was a debacle. It was a debacle yesterday.
It's because the phone lines.
Oh, here we go. So now you're taking shots at Rodney.
I'm not taking shots at anybody. The phone lines were not functioning properly.
They're still not functioning properly.
We seem to have it on lockdown a little better today.
But we manage.
That's because we got two professionals that work on the show. And Raymond is chipper. He got sleep. He's fully engaged.
Ray sounds great today, doesn't he?
Sounds fantastic.
Let's get to your Jets. 1-800-919-3776. So... You know, it's funny. The more this gets discussed, the more people I hear have the take of, I don't really want Aaron Rodgers. I think it's risky. I don't know how much he has left. I don't know how well he does in New York. And I think I would avoid bringing in a headache like that. Let's be safer and bring in, fill in the blank, quarterback.
Derek Carr.
Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo. He's safer. He's also never healthy, but he's safer.
I think the problem, and I said this, I mean, I'll keep saying it, it's that it's the natural instinct of Jets fans to think that whatever we do is not going to turn out the way that we expect it to. Like, as good as the start of Brett Favre was, he gets hurt, doesn't tell anyone, and it completely falls apart. Like, we'll make the move, and for some reason, it won't work out. But that's just because we're trying to protect ourselves from either it happens and it doesn't work out, or... we get ourselves all fired up. Nathaniel Hackett's the new OC. They're hiring Aaron Rodgers guys, and then he makes the decision to go somewhere else or stay in Green Bay. And then what?
It's such a loser take, though.
It is.
It's like you could have this beautiful car, but with the beautiful car, you're going to have to really maintain it. You're going to have to bring it in for oil changes and really keep an eye on it and maintain it. But you have this gorgeous car, or you can just have some fine car. Mediocre, fine car. You're not doing anything special. I'm sorry. You're not doing anything special with Derek Carr as your quarterback. You're just not.
Not after what I just saw in the AFC Championship game. And on top of that, with what the AFC has for quarterbacks. I mean, the AFC is, good teams, great quarterbacks. Like, the AFC is loaded with...
Loaded. When we mention the AFC, we don't even mention Trevor Lawrence.
No, Trevor Lawrence. I mean, if at some point Justin Herbert gets a legitimate coach, Tom Brady.
Steelers
ends
are
up.
always a problem, and I don't know what Kenny Pickett's going to turn himself into. Look pretty to go 9-8 with that offensive line in his rookie year. Pretty impressive.
That's a testament to Mike Tomlin, man. Mike Tomlin doesn't get enough respect.
Okay, and I think you're 100% right, but that you got to throw that into the mix, no?
Yeah, you have. Of course you do, Lamar. What happens with him? Dude, I mean, the AFC, man, I'm telling you, it was one of the first things I thought watching Burrow and Mahomes go back and forth, especially under those circumstances. Like, think about it. We talk about how important the offensive line is all the time. He loses three of his five starting offensive linemen and still puts his team right there with the chance to win two possessions. I thought for sure they were going to win that game. And then Patrick Mahomes loses three wide receivers. He loses his own one leg and finds a way to get it done.
But here we just make excuses, right? Well, I mean,
they
lost Breece Hall and they lost Vera Tucker. How could you expect the quarterbacks to play well when you lose that kind of production? But other quarterbacks do it. Other teams do it, and they figure out a way to go to the Super Bowl with that.
Well, listen, teams with great quarterbacks.
Hey, but that's my point. That's exactly what I'm saying. So why, if it's out there and you could possibly have it, why wouldn't you go after the great quarterback? Why be afraid to go after greatness?
Because they do, I'm telling you, this. I'm giving you the opinion of the Jets fan that says they don't want Aaron Rodgers just because they're scared that he won't come here or it won't work out. Like, the Jets haven't given you a lot of reasons to have just blind faith in what they're doing or just faith in general that it's going to work out.
But I think you have more faith now, no?
I think you have more faith now, but still, you're talking about they lost their last, they lost six straight to finish up the season.
I get it, but they're still like when you look at what happened in this past draft, you're like, wow, they hit home runs all over the place, no?
Yeah, of course. But that's the reason why Aaron Rodgers, I think, would consider coming here, is because they do have, here's the thing, though. I mean, how much does he want to play with, like, he had young receivers in Green Bay, and now going to more young receivers in New York? Yeah, or does he just think that Garrett Wilson is that much better than Christian
Garrett
Watson?
Garrett Wilson's a stud.
I think he's a stud, too. I mean, can you imagine what he would do, what Aaron Rodgers would do for Garrett Wilson?
Look at what Garrett Wilson did this year with, I mean,
no quarterback.
At best, average quarterback play.
Yeah, don't
at
even best. Say it. It wasn't even average.
No. Okay, so look what he did with subpar quarterback play. You imagine what he would do you imagine what Elijah Moore, imagine what these guys would look like with Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback?
I could dream about it, yeah.
Here's your guy, huge Jets fan. You hear him right after us every weekday morning, 10 to noon on 98.7. He's Greeny. And on Get Up yesterday, he said Aaron Rodgers, well, here he is if the Jets were to acquire Aaron Rodgers.
I believe that Aaron Rodgers could make Garrett Wilson into Davante Adams. And I don't think that's even an exaggeration. I think he's that good with the right quarterback. I think that the defense is elite. I think they have something bordering on elite skill position talent on the offense. If the running back they drafted last year, Breece Hall, is healthy, you need two more pieces on the offensive line. I actually think, I know this sounds ridiculous because it's been 54 years to be exact since the Jets were in the Super Bowl, but I actually do think with Aaron Rodgers, they would have a shot at that next year.
I think so. And if you would what'd you say?
I don't think they have a shot next year.
No?
No.
So how far down the road? Because you don't have a huge window. How far down the road?
I mean, you only have it. It feels like with Aaron Rodgers, it's going to be 2 years.
Okay, so you say not next year. Well, you better have it the year after. Within these 2 years, you need to go to a Super Bowl if you bring in Aaron Rodgers.
I would say, yeah, that's right. But, I mean, I think it would be nice to have the first step as let's make the playoffs, potentially win the division, win a playoff game. But
if the Jets,
I know Brady did it, but.
If the Jets went 12-5, won the division, had a home game, won it, went on the road to Kansas City and lost a close game, the expectations for the next year would be through the roof.
Right.
And rightfully so.
And they should be. But, I mean, I think everyone gets caught up with the whole Brady thing. And now, talent-wise, Aaron Rodgers
More
talented than Brady. But let's not forget, Brady signed with Tampa. They didn't have to trade for Brady. So they used their first-round pick to get Tristan Wirfs. Like, if this is going to happen, the Jets are going to trade this year's first-round pick and potentially another first-round pick.
Right.
And there's work to be done. Like, Brady, the fact that he went in there under those circumstances, COVID and everything else, and found a way to win a Super Bowl it's amazing. But I don't think that can be the expectation.
Well, I mean, it's got to be something close to that. Otherwise, what are you making the trade for?
Yeah. No, listen, I'm not saying it can't be close to the Super Bowl. I would like to think that it's going to be close to the Super Bowl, but I wouldn't put them right there at the top to be a Super Bowl
team.
No,
no, no, no, no. I'm not saying it's Jets and Chiefs and Bills all of a sudden in the hierarchy in the AFC. I'm just saying you're now in the conversation. When we talk about the halves of the AFC, the Jets are now in that conversation.
Right. I don't disagree with that.
Is what I'm saying. And I heard a lot of, well, what happens in the future? And it's very risky to do what's the future?
There is no future right now for these coaches.
You've been trying to win this thing for 50 plus years. If you have a chance to go all in and have a real chance to win it, you go all in for a real chance to win it.
Well, yeah, but the coach and the GM don't have a future if they don't win now.
Certainly
there
not the
no
coach.
Future for them.
Certainly not the coach.
Yeah, certainly not the coach. But how many coaches is Joe Douglas going to get to pick? Right? I mean,
you would think this is probably it.
If you miss on the second overall pick, the quarterback in the second overall pick, you miss on that, and then you miss on the coaching staff that you hired, I don't know how many more opportunities you're going to get. As good as last year's draft and free agency was.
Yeah, it feels like it's pretty much time. And if you're at the end, because even if it's not one more year, it's not much beyond that.
No.
And if you have an opportunity to get this is not a hyperbole, one of the greats of all time, a guy that, look what he did last year. You look at last season, right? And you're like, well, he wasn't great. Right? He wasn't great?
Last year was not a good season for him.
Have you seen his numbers from last season?
I did. I told you where his numbers would rank in the history of the Jets.
I mean, they'd be right there. And if you got one of the two prior seasons, he'd be, right away, the greatest franchise season in the history of this organization.
Aaron Rodgers' worst season in what, the last three? I mean, with back-to-back MVPs.
Was this past year?
It's a bad season. It might have been his worst, especially interception-wise.
Give me the numbers again, please. What do you have, 12?
Aaron Rodgers' numbers this season?
This season. Do you have them in front of you?
This is not typical Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers has been, I mean, he's almost 5-1 touchdowns to interceptions.
Which is insane.
So this year it had to be the thumb, though. I got to imagine it had to be the thumb. And he just battled through it. Aaron Rodgers threw 12, 26 and 12.
26 and 12. For if I told you 26-12 for any other quarterback, you'd say pretty good numbers.
So here's I have it written down. So Aaron Rodgers' season this year, 3,695 yards, 26 touchdowns, and 12 interceptions. The 3,695 would be the fifth most yards ever in a season for a Jets quarterback. And the 26 touchdowns would be the third most ever in a season.
In a season you look at and say, not so good.
It's one of his worst.
Not so good. Maybe his
worst. I don't even think it's a question, though, when you look at his stats in general, like how bad 26-12 is compared to what he... I mean, just the interceptions. I mean, the most interceptions he had ever thrown in a season was back in 2008 when he threw 13, 28-13.
And 2008 was just the early stages of his career, too.
But the two years leading up to this year, he had, I mean, in 2020, he was 48-5, and then in 2021, it was 37-4.
So he had 9 interceptions the two prior seasons combined.
Right.
It's a game changer.
Yeah, but he's a guy that elevates all the talent around him. Elevates the offensive line because he's seen everything. There's nothing you can throw at him that he hasn't seen.
He's still great.
Here's the thing, though, and this is why you would hire Nathaniel Hackett, is because you have to win now, is that he steps right in and knows the offense.
Let's take a call or two on this quickly, and then we'll take a break and come back. And they're all lined up today, and we have CMT, which is exciting, at 7:45. Darnell in the truck. Darnell, you're on 98.7. So I said Darnell in the truck, and you know what they did? They hung up on him.
Yeah, because they have the phones figured out.
Yeah. So come after me.
Yeah, way to work, fellas.
But I say Darnell in the truck, and you just hang right up on Darnell.
Soil yourselves.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN. To cuddle.
Oh, yeah.
To marry.
We'll see naked ladies.
Or to trash.
The attack, did he?
That is the question.
All right, it's all brought to you by Jack Pocket. So, good question. I've been texting with our buddy Carlin this morning.
Oh, really?
Really? Why? You're going to find out. A tough
what,
question.
Did a sleep apnea machine break?
How dare you?
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness.
A tough question.
Why would he be up so early? Why would you be up this early if you had to?
Maybe he's doing Greeny's show today.
He's a professional.
Is he doing Greeny's show today?
I don't know that he is, but he may. I mean, there's a 50-50 chance.
He's taking in our fine program. He's preparing, and I...
Yeah, he doesn't work normally till 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
He's preparing.
But he doesn't have children. Why in the world would he be awake if he's not doing the 10 o'clock show?
He's not Don.
Well, yeah, but he should be a little bit more like Don.
I'm a heavy breather.
I mean, do you think he sleeps soundly through the night? It's physically impossible for him to sleep soundly.
I'm nude right now.
Oh, no.
The man dies multiple times in his sleep, I'd imagine.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, moving on.
I poke you.
All brought to you by Jack Pocket.
All he said is he spoke to Carlin, and now you're killing him off.
It bothers
poke
me.
It.
He has
God,
no kids, and he's
it.
Up.
Poke it. God, you, poke it.
If you had
I
no kids, would you.
You
be up right now? It didn't work till 3.
No. I would probably sleep till... Well, I have kids, so I'd be involved in that. But if I didn't have kids, I would be like probably a 2 a.m. to 11 a.m. guy.
Right.
All righty. Much discussion about where Tom Brady, what he'll be doing in 2023. So I ask the two of you to cut a little trash the following. Will he be in Las Vegas with the Raiders? Will he be in San Francisco with the 49ers? Or will he retire? Because last we saw, it wasn't great.
All right, stop it. The man will never retire. I'm going to trash retire. That will not happen. I think there's a real chance of San Fran, but I think the landing spot for him is Vegas. So I will cuddle. Aww. I will cuddle San Francisco, and I will marry Vegas.
I think this Brock Purdy thing changes everything. I think it changes everything.
But you're gonna trash retire.
I'm going to trash retire, but I mean, how can, like, it? If there's the thought that it's going to be because you gave up so much for Trey Lance, and now Brock Purdy has stepped in and all he's done is won, makes no money. Are you going to bring Jimmy Garoppolo back? I mean, is he going to sign a 1-year deal to come back?
I don't know.
Like the best option could be Tom Brady playing. I mean, year to year. Team's ready to win now. Brady, I mean, stays healthy, doesn't get hurt, so he'll be available for you. Hell, I mean, that's where he's from. I'm going to, as much as it's been Vegas this whole time, I think this Brock Purdy thing changes everything. I'm going to marry San Francisco.
Wow.
It makes too much sense. It makes too much sense. I mean, it's a perfect situation.
All right, already. You gave your answer. It was well thought out. It was a good answer. You don't need to go on and on about
We're not in a rush here.
Yeah, you don't seem supportive.
I'm very supportive.
I think he did yeoman's work, but okay. You answered the question. Vegas. Let's move on.
Why are you trying to rush through CMT? Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to rush it because you know what? RJ always has extra questions. We never get to them. I'd like to answer the questions and move on.
He's very on edge today.
Yeah, explore the space.
You don't like the segment. That's fine.
I love the segment, and I love you.
You're trying to rush through it. You quit often.
You know what? I'm going to give the longest answer you've ever heard for the next question.
All right. Dave's verbose answer coming.
Why don't you have Carlin call in? He can do the segment for you.
Bleep.
I think he'd be a little more engaged.
I used to be quite the sailor.
How much money would you pay to watch Carlin sail?
With one of those little hats?
Oh, please.
What are the chances the boat moves?
It might not. We're stuck on a rock. No.
It's your boy.
You're very cruel. I don't support it.
But you love it. But you laugh.
The Empire State Building's had a bad 48 hours.
It's an awful building. It is an awful building.
You know what it did,
building.
By the way? Because when did you see the follow-up tweet? A lot of people just blocked it, unfollowed it when the tweet in question went out about on Twitter, and it had the Eagles colors. They switched after the AFC Championship game to Chiefs colors.
Yep, they sure did.
And in the tweet, they said that was harder for us than it was for you. I don't think so. I don't think that's true. You just had to flip a switch. We had to look at it. I think it was difficult, more difficult than you embarrassed us. So I ask you to cut all Mary trash buildings and or landmarks in our fine city. The Empire State Building.
Trash.
Madison Square Garden.
Ooh.
Or the dumpster sitting outside our building.
Why would you?
That's disappointing.
Like, the dumpster? Are we talking about a legitimate dumpster?
The Empire State Building, Madison Square Garden, and a dumpster.
Well,
this is excellent company.
There's one clear victor.
You know what? I think
here.
It's a great question. I think this is the best he's ever been.
There's one clear victor, and then I want to see how bad we hate the Empire State Building.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to marry. I'll marry the garden. I'm going to cuddle the dumpster. I'm trashing the Empire State Building.
I will marry the garden. I've had some of the great moments of my life in Madison Square Garden. So I will marry the garden. Did the dumpster outside our building light up in green and white and celebrate the Eagles going to the Super Bowl? No. It collects garbage. You know what? That, to me, better than the Empire State Building. I will cuddle the dumpster. And I not only do I trash the Empire State Building, I unfollowed it, and I will never, ever, 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 as long as I live, step foot in that atrocity of a building again, ever.
Wow.
So why did you follow? Were you really following the Empire State Building Twitter?
I was following it.
Yeah, oh. I was. I'll tell you another thing. Well, let me tell you one more thing. RJ, I bet you know this. They have advertised on the station from time to time.
Yep.
If they do again, I will not do the reads.
Oh.
I'm not kidding. I will not support that building.
Oh,
wow.
I will not. RJ can do them. Raymond can do them. You can put them on another show. Rick, you can do them. I will not do those reads.
Gauntlet thrown.
Yeah. See, I agree with you, and it puts me in a bind every once in a while. No, I've lived here for 10 years, but I've never done certain touristy things. Every once in a while, I like to do something touristy. I've still never been in that building, and I don't know how.
You can't.
Yeah, exactly. I've been in the Freedom Tower. What a view that is. Now
it's a better building.
Oh, much better.
A much better building.
But now I can never go inside it.
No. Well, you know, it's not that great. You're missing nothing.
It's a view.
You know, I unfollowed that. You know what else? Who else I had to unfollow yesterday? I did the content. Just it got to be too much.
Dan Orlovsky.
No. Greeny's guy, Hembo. Just Eagles everywhere. I couldn't do it.
Ugh.
Couldn't do it. Seems like a nice guy. Can't do it, though.
He's not that nice.
Wow.
No, he's not bad. He's not great. He's fine.
And I'm the bad guy.
We had a moment at the urinal years ago.
Oh, of course.
Why do all your moments come at the urinal? Yeah.
Not all. It's two.
Because
he's
a bird
Lawrence
watcher.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
I have two urinal moments.
Not all of them. I was filling in for Mike and Mike, and we went to commercial break, and I went to the bathroom, and he was next to me. And he's like, "You're doing a fine job." And I was like, "Thank you very much." And then we chatted for a minute, and we moved on.
You had a moment.
But it was nothing sensational. I don't remember it like it was a great moment of my life.
Drag down fight, Nuno or Hembo?
What did you say?
Nuno for sure.
Who would win in a fight?
Nuno.
Nuno is thin and vivacious now.
He is.
Sure. I don't even think it's a question. And if it's Nuno that does it, Nuno will find someone that will take care of the
Oh, yes.
That's right.
And that is KJM's producer, formerly Greeny's producer.
Yep.
Producer. Formerly, he was on this station, Nuno Teixeira.
He trained me.
You don't want to mess with him. He would it shock you if I told you he's had people
disappear?
Offed?
Why would you say that publicly? Why would you put that out there?
I was just going to say disappear. You went all the way.
What do you think disappearing means?
Disappearing could mean anything you want it to be.
People don't disappear and then reappear. Like, hello, it's me.
I think one you get subpoenaed for, one is a little more, you know, well, left.
I'm not naming names right now.
You're not very subtle.
Yeah, left to the imagination. Anywho, so the much the promised Carlin-inspired question here.
Here we go.
All I'll say, and this pertains to Dave.
I'm gonna go with fried cheese.
Oh, I mean, seriously.
Wow. Is that wrong?
Pot, kettle.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, hang on a second. You look at my fatness the same as his?
not necessarily, but you have said it yourself. You've got work to do.
And I'm working.
And you're just ripping Carlin.
So well, you know what? Earlier. I'm ripping him.
Shut up, fatty.
See, but your approach here is just not to eat, which concerns me.
Whatever. I'm dedicated.
Yeah, but that's not built to last, though.
You'll see. It'll be fine.
It's not great. It's not great.
It's not great at all.
Alrighty. So all I'll say here is that there's a playoff pool that's run behind the scenes here at the station.
Oh, come on. You love me.
Where we're assigned teams at random before the start of the NFL playoffs. Dave, what is your team?
You know who they are.
The Philadelphia Eagles. Dave had nothing to do with this. He's totally innocent. But, if the Eagles win the Super Bowl, Dave benefits, I'm not going to say life-changing money, you benefit fairly decent size financially, correct?
Yeah, it's okay.
Something, right?
It's definitely something.
So, Cuddle Mary Trash, Rick, what Dave should be doing heading into the Super Bowl? Is he rooting for the Eagles in a payday? Is he rooting against himself winning the money and the Eagles? Or should Dave win... Since he hates the Eagles, it's basically blood money. Will he refund all the rest of the participants, including us three friends here on the show?
Wow. Puts Dave in a real real tough spot.
And we'll
here.
Get Dave's answer after.
Yeah, but see, I think Dave should just... Can we change it to just reimburses the three of us on the show as opposed to everybody?
Oh, and then pockets the rest.
Yeah. Because I'd be down for that. I'll marry that if that's an option. I think he has to. I got to cuddle. He's got to root against himself winning. He has to. He has to. And then I trash him rooting for the Eagles. He'll never do it.
You know who I had in this pool?
You had the Niners.
No, I had the Chargers.
That didn't go well. So you got bounced right on that first Saturday night, didn't you?
That was horrifying. So, Dave, what do you intend to do here?
I mean, root for the Eagles. I would never root for the Eagles. Ever. Ever. If you told me right now. If you said, if you give $5,000 and it guarantees the Eagles do not win, I would gladly give you that money. Gladly. So I'm looking for chump change for the Eagles to win the Super Bowl. No.
Just call $5,000 chump change?
And there it is.
No.
And there it is, guys.
I called what this is chump change.
So when do we graduate to non-chump change?
Over anything that has four numbers.
Yeah, I mean, you're right there.
No, you're not.
High rolling Dave.
No, you're nowhere near that.
The definition of bougie.
Whatever. I don't want you to judge me. I'm not all about money. I'm about self-preservation and happiness. Eagles and that lose. Happiness is buoyed by the Eagles losing.
Eagles lose, Dave will roll up a $100 bill and smoke it right there.
I'll tell you what I'll do.
He calls them fun coupons.
Eagles lose. You just wait to see the party we have on that Tuesday in studio. You just wait.
You won't. You
say that.
Do nothing.
You say I might bring in locks.
Oh, that's my kind of party.
I might bring in salted
like
fishes.
That kind of party.
That's right. Maybe a halibut. Maybe whitefish salad.
What is it with you and fish?
What do you mean? It's a delicious brunch. We're a brunch kind of show.
It's like Trading Places when Dan Aykroyd starts like putting the salmon in his Santa pockets.
Fish? Fine sliced salmon with capers.
Hello, pot. This is the kettle. You're fat. Hello.
Wow. Carl weighing in.
Oh, I see what you did there.
What is it? Fish? Answer the question. Now you're procrastinating here.
All right. I'll trash the Eagles winning. I will cuddle reimbursing you guys, and I will marry taking the money. Why would I have to endure the Eagles winning the whole thing and not at least take the financial reward that comes with it?
Wow. Taking the blood money.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not real. I mean, it's not real money for him, though.
That's true. I might say,
guys, let's go out and have a nice lunch on me, but I'm not just going to give you money.
What kind of lunch are we talking?
Maybe a nice steak sandwich.
Ooh.
The one where we pay for all the drinks.
You know what's amazing?
What?
That I picked up the tab for that big fancy meal we went out to, and you're like making it sound like I embarrassed me.
Well, by the tab, you mean, in all truth, part of the tab.
No.
Right. The cheap part.
I picked up all of the food.
The least expensive part.
Rick decided to pick up the drinks, which was very nice of him. But how am I painted into being the bad guy here?
Right. Not the bad guy.
What did I do? What did I do wrong?
Nothing.
I did absolutely nothing wrong. I picked up the tab, and I still get beaten up for it.
Rick gave
you... Did I pick up the tab for his father-in-law? Was I supposed to? No. Did I? Yes. Did I say a word? Not a word.
Rick gave you an out. He said, hey, if you want me to pick up some of it, probably expecting you to say, no, don't worry about it. He said, oh, okay, where's your card?
Yes. You're lying. That never happened.
Yes, right.
That never happened.
And I had to pay for the meal behind us, too.
Yeah, you racked up.
You did not have to. You chose to. You wanted to because you wanted to be the conquering hero. That's what it had to be. Look at me. I'm Rick DiPietro. Did you tell the people behind you? By the way, I'm going to pick this up. You know why? Because every July, they just put money right into my account. It's incredible. It's like a windfall.
You're such a
I won the lottery.
You are.
There's no one worse.
I snookered this franchise. Did you tell them that? Did you tell that mismatched couple that?
Mismatched couple.
Mismatched in age.
In everything. They didn't deserve to be together.
Oh, my goodness.
What?
What?
Come on. We all thought the same thing. I'm the only one that's willing to say it.
That's a beautiful couple.
Yeah.
What is she? And we thought they were married for like 67 years, and he let himself go. No, that's not the case. It's like five years.
Oh, my goodness. All righty. And finally, you guys have debated.
Hang on.
Oh, my goodness. What?
Hang on.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Okay.
You're listening to DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.70 ESPN, WEPN FM in New York.
You know what? That's actually a good interruption. Well done.
Thank you.
So you debated earlier who the most likable person on this show is. Got me to thinking. Mm-hmm. Said, self, wonder where we stack up as a show in terms of being likable on this station. So combine the two of you. Combine forces. Is it you guys? Is it Bart and Han, who brought all their TV decorations into the studio?
They did?
The other studio.
Wow.
Or...
I don't know where the other studio is.
Yeah, because they kicked them out of the other studio.
Or is it the Michael Kay Show guys?
Most likable?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, it's your turn, but I don't think this is all.
I think as a duo, I mean, as a show, it has to be us.
Yeah, I agree.
Has to be.
Now it gets interesting.
People don't really like Peter.
Right.
I mean, Don. Everyone loves Don.
Everyone loves Don, but nobody can really relate to Michael because he's like a different. Other than you, he's just different. Financially,
Mets fans don't really like him.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's us. I don't even think it's a question.
All right, and now your cuddle.
I think that Don is enough to put them at two. I'll cuddle Acacia.
You old stupid man, get lost.
And then politely, I'll take the Bart and Han vehicle.
This is your guy. This is the guy that found you hoveled over in a basement and said, follow me, we'll get you into radio, and look at you now, flourishing.
So as I said earlier, suck it, Han.
Yeah, now he placed him in the dumpster that we ranked higher than the Empire State Building.
You know what would have been better? It would have been better Empire State Building or Bart and Han. And then we see what direction he goes in.
Well, you're trashing the Empire State Building.
Well, who knows with you? Well, you just treated that show. All right, I think you have to marry us. I think we're the class of the list right there. Here's the thing. Everyone likes Han. Everyone likes Scott, right? It's likable, but there's something needle-moving about the K-Show because to hate Peter is so fun. Michael is kind of like a polarizing force as well. Give me the exact verbiage of the question, please, again, RJ.
Which do you find most likable? So by trashing the whichever show you trash, you know find them unlikable.
I'm going to have to say Bart and Han because I think who doesn't like Bart and who doesn't like Alan? I'm gonna cuddle them. There's a lot of disdain for Peter. I mean, half the calls, it's like, hey, you're on the Michael Kay Show. I hate Peter. So I will trash the Kay Show. I like Michael, and I think Don, like you said, and you're accurate, is maybe the most beloved at the station. But people hate Peter, and because of that, I will trash them.
Wow. All right, that is Cuddle Mary Trash brought to you by Jackpocket. Powerball is $653 million. Mega Millions is $31 million. Play official state letter games on your phone with Jackpocket. Download the Jackpocket app. Get your first ticket free using code ESPN. Must be 18 or older to play. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or visit jackpocket.com/TOS for terms of service.
I told you RJ was going to be good today.
I said he would be good today.
Yeah, you said I was facing adversity.
Right.
Yeah, and he was excellent because you know what I did? And you didn't even recognize it. I secretly motivated him is what I did.
Oh, that's what he was.
That's okay. Exactly what it was. I was like, I don't know if he's going to be good. And then it got into his synapses, and then he was elite.
You know what has happened over the last, I don't know, 16 to 20 hours, though?
What?
Because when the Niners lost, it was, you know what? Purdy got hurt. We were never winning that game. Okay, fine. And it's almost like appreciation for the season that they had. Now it's turned to anger. Now I find myself lashing out at random things.
So now you're me.
I'll never be you, but I'm as close as I'll ever be, like, today. Like, 2 days after.
See, I told you.
Now it's peak anger. I hate the Empire State Building. I hate the Eagles. I hear Darius Slay taking his victory parade about how they would have won even if Purdy was healthy. They're so unlikable, that team.
I hate them to begin with. You have no issue with them. You just hate them because of what's happening in the moment. Think about me, what I have to endure.
They're terrible.
Terrible. And that Nick Sirianni, tell me if you had to get into a slap contest with him in the slap league, you wouldn't want to go right after
him. I think he'd beat me, but his visor's stupid.
I'll tell you what, though.
That slap league is wild, though.
Yeah,
that's an embarrassment.
You want none of that.
RJ would leave him with the swollen side
of
his
face. The slap league or the visor?
You saw that guy's face?
Yeah, that was it's troubling.
It's pathetic.
Did you see the woman that
stooped to the point where television is now airing slapping people across the face?
I like how Dave is just ripping it, and Ray and Rick are like, well, did you see the one angle?
I don't know if you know this.
Pathetic.
We as human beings, we kind of enjoy this stuff. We enjoy the violence. And as Rick was pointing out, that woman who got hit so hard that she front tumbled. It was
the front roll.
It's pathetic.
It's troubling.
They're going to look like, don't you, like at another planet, they're looking at us and they're like, wait a minute. They do what? They televise slapping people across the
face. This is why the aliens don't visit us. They know what we're about.
Fantasy slap league.
Could you imagine that? The fantasy slap league.
No. I'm sure. I mean, if Hurley can find a way to get Venmo'd for it, I'm sure he'll start one.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
If there was a fantasy slap league at the station, you would do it, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Of course you would.
Someone from the show would have to do it. You're too soft to do it.
Too soft? Oh, no, because I'm not a mongrel.
Look at your jowls. Those things. You can imagine the slow-mo of those jowls shaking.
You know what? Honestly, it would make sense. If someone is going to lower themselves to slap others across the face for sport, it would be you.
No, I'm not lowering.
No, it would be you. Yeah, because I'm better than that.
Someone has to represent the show.
Because I'm better than that.
Oh, here we go.
It's pathetic.
Who would represent the show?
If you watch that, if you're like turning on, like, oh, I want to see, I got Dakota. He's going up against Smith. I want to watch it. You're pathetic. You should reevaluate your entire life and check into a rehab facility.
Oh, Rick just got slapped right across the face.
You were the announcer for a slap fight.
Well, that wasn't a true... If it was a hand to the face, I wouldn't have done it. That was a tortilla challenge.
If you slap me with
different.
A tortilla, I am leaving.
See? If that was a hand to the face slap off...
He would have buried... We would be talking
my head,
about...
I would be dead.
Yeah, you wouldn't still be with us.
He is a humongous human being.
Yeah, he would have destroyed you. And he was very nice, too. I don't even think he slapped you as hard with the tortillas he could
have. Stop. He was a sneak attack. I didn't even see it coming.
Come on down and get places for the home games. Bring the kids. We got entertainment for the whole family.
The slap league. Oh, my God. What a world we're living in.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you hear what Kyrie happened to say last night after the victory over the Lakers?
I did.
Let's play it for the people. This is remarkable to me. Not every player has the desire to play. Here's Kyrie.
I see it from both sides, and I have to sit in the middle and just say we have things in the works right now that we talk about, but all in all, everybody's body is different, everybody's will to play is different, and everybody's desire to be out there is different.
Now, body, I understand, right? If you're saying just physically I'm worn down, everybody's desire to play is different. You're getting paid a fortune of money. You're going out there and playing a kid's game. You're treated like a Greek god, and everybody's desire to play is different. I think that's a big statement from Kyrie.
It's definitely a big statement, but I mean, this is all stuff that's going to be talked about during the next collective bargaining. I mean, Kyrie is the vice president of the Players Association.
Yep.
Right. So, I mean, this is something that both sides are going to have to figure out. Because the players aren't, I mean, the players like the amount of money that they're getting paid. So this whole notion that they're going to cut back on the 82 games, I have a hard time believing that. So, yeah, you're right. Like the whole, you know, everyone's body is different. And guys, I mean, you're trying to get the guys to play as many games as possible. And if that means sacrificing a game here or there to make sure these guys stay healthy, I completely understand that. That's fine. But the whole idea that guys aren't willing or have any interest in playing every game is a problem for the players.
Right. Now, listen, like LeBron last night, ankle issue, back-to-back, too much for him, advanced age. I get it. Makes sense to me, right? Tonight, they're on national television. It's at the Garden. I fully get that. But that's not what I'm bothered by with that statement. What I'm bothered by is he makes it sound like you could wake up on a Wednesday and just be like, yeah, you know what? I have no interest in playing basketball tonight. I think that's a real indictment on him and on players around the league, that maybe that goes on more than we think. The guys just don't want to play basketball.
I think it's a real indictment on the league. Because that's a foreign concept to me playing in the NHL. Like, yeah, there are plenty of nights, like I'm telling, like a back-to-back or whatever it is, you feel like crap, your legs, you know, you had no legs, and you just, like, physically you just feel like garbage, but there was never a thought that I'm not gonna play, or I'm going to bow out of this one.
So this, I mean, you were a guy that would have done anything to play, and you say you'd go back
still
and
would.
Give up everything to go back and play. How much does that bother you? More than me, it doesn't even matter what I think. How much does it bother you to hear him say something like that?
It drives me crazy. It drives me crazy. Like, I don't like that is something that makes no sense with the amount of how they treat us, the amount of money we're paid. Like just as a competitor, forget the money. Like, I don't even care if I was getting paid or not. Like, if I got, you know, you're playing a team sport, your teammates are counting on you, you're trying to win all these games, it's like you wake up one morning and, yeah, I don't really feel like playing this one, and you're going to decide you don't want to play now. Like, we pride ourselves on playing through.
You say we pride ourselves, clearly not.
Well, we do. I mean, you talk about a sport where Brock Nelson pulled his tooth out off the bench. Like,
right.
We pride ourselves on
hockey
being
players
being,
play.
Yeah, yeah, because it's bigger than us. You're there for your teammates. Like, they're counting on you, and you sacrifice for those guys. Now, if you're injured, that's completely different.
But that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what he said. Let's hear that again, RJ, that not every player has the desire to play every night.
I see it from both sides, and I have to sit in the middle and just say we have things in the works right now that we talk about, but all in all, everybody's body is different, everybody's will to play is different, and everybody's desire to be out there is different.
So, okay, body different.
If your will to play... How about this? I'll make it simple for you. If your will to play does not involve playing every game that you physically can play, then I don't want you on my team. How about that?
I agree.
How about that one?
I think it's that 12-second soundbite has so much in it. Because if your body shuts down and you can't play or you're just too exhausted or whatever the case may be, I have no issue with that. I'm not judging that. But if you don't have the desire to play, Then what are we doing here?
Well, I mean, you see what's happening here with the NBA.
The NBA is it's a bad situation right now.
It's a terrible situation. You've heard plenty of people say it. I mean, Charles Barkley said it. Stephen A. has said this for a while now.
Well, how do you fix it?
The owners are fed up. I don't know how you fix it, because you can't tell a player that there's nothing wrong with him. As a player, if you want to miss a game, you can miss a game.
Right. There's always an issue. And by the way, this joke, well, they're going to reevaluate LeBron and see what he is tonight, see if he can give it a go and play. You don't think LeBron's going to play tonight?
I would imagine he's probably going to play tonight, yeah.
Of course. And by the way, this portion of the show is driven by the All American Ford Auto Group, the number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. You think we're the only ones bothered by that and it's just a non-issue?
I think the owners of the league are bothered by that. I bet the coaches are bothered by that. I bet the GMs are bothered by that.
But you think that players would hear what he said and say, yeah, you know what? That's right. Not every day do I wake up and think to myself, I want to go play basketball.
I think that's probably one of those things that you would say to him in a quiet moment. Like, I probably keep stuff like that to yourself. This is going to end up being a real problem for us. And the fact that you just said that is not great.
Why would he say that?
I think he was just being truthful in the moment.
I think he is being truthful, but I mean that's a bad thing to say.
Yeah, man, I don't get it. I mean, listen, I was hurt a lot, and that stunk, and all I really wanted to do was play. But I mean, there's a pride that you take in being available for your guys every night, if you can be, if your body allows it. And if you can't, like if it's, you know, something is really wrong, then you don't play. Or if you're an older guy or whatever it is, like we have a plan to make sure that you're healthy in the most important part of the season, that's fine. But don't make it as a, you know, this I'm just not willing to play tonight. Like I just say, I'm fine. Body feels good. I just don't really feel
like playing.
Remember
the old, like the old saying, and I don't think it's like he said this. I don't think it's like a saying, but it's something he said. Joe DiMaggio. And he was asked, you know, later on in his career, why do you always go out there and like give everything you have and try as hard as you can and so motivated? And he said, why? Because somebody's going to the stadium for the first time, that's going to be their first impression of seeing me. And basically, Kyrie's just saying, well, whatever. And I'm not blaming him specifically if this is, you know, he's the mouthpiece of other players. But, you know, baseball is not a game where they barely play. I mean, DiMaggio said that when they're playing 154 games a season. And it's every single day. And it's probably not the elite travel. And it's probably train travel. Pre-air conditioning. Like, I'm sure it wasn't great scenario and situations, and he went out there, and because that was the obligation and the expectation, he played, and they played every single day. And hockey players do it.
Yeah, I think there's a happy medium. I mean, there's a way, like with the advanced science and everything else, I think there's a way to do it where you shouldn't have to sacrifice the games. Like, there should be a way to get your rest and not miss a bunch of games.
Clearly the NBA is broken right now. Clearly,
right.
It's broken.
Yeah, they are broken. They're in for a fight with the owners about this because it's not fair to, I mean, we talk about that Jimmy Butler thing where the kid found out that Jimmy Butler wasn't playing. Like, there has to be a way. And this is, you know, the problem is too, it's instilled in you. Like, it's just something like it's part of your makeup is, and I think it's the beauty of hockey and why I love it so much. It's just you felt like you owed it to the guys in that locker room to be available when you could. Regardless, like, I mean, it's just how you felt. Because there's plenty of times you don't feel great.
I'm sure you never feel great.
Or you got stuff going on.
I'm sure you never feel great. I mean, how many times do you wake up in the morning at 3 o'clock and not feel great doing the show?
All the time.
Okay. And what do? You get you put on your pants, you drive to the studio, you sit down in front of the chair, and you do the best you can, and you have fun, and you enjoy it. And you try to block out the fact that you don't feel well, right?
Yeah. Because again, I mean, it's our show. It's the four of us.
That's right. Let's hear another little soundbite from Kyrie about ongoing conversations between players and the owners and how to solve this load management issue.
Definitely taking the necessary steps of having the conversations with the NBA about what it looks like for the quote-unquote star players missing games or the superstar players not necessarily being available. It's a long season, man. It's a grinded-out season, 82 games. It's a lot on our bodies. I will not complain about it because I put my body in a great position every day, but it takes a lot of people a long time to figure out what their routine looks like at a very high level. There's a figuring-out process, basically what I'm saying, from the NBA side and the NBPA side on how we can reconcile some of these issues that the fans bring up or the media brings up or people bring up of why people aren't available.
You know, I thought he was going to say I'm not going to complain about it because we get paid millions of dollars to play a kid's game. I'm not going to complain because I keep myself in elite shape.
Well, no, but I don't think he's wrong. I think that's part of it, though. I mean, it is. There is a feeling out process to try to get, because a lot of us just feel like if some is good, more is better, and then you beat the crap out of yourself. Like you always ask me, or people always ask me, how come today's professional athletes are always injured? It's because they do too much. Like you're talking about guys like baseball players taking 1,000 swings before they get on the field. Like it's trying to find that sweet spot where you're getting your work, but you're not wearing yourself out or breaking yourself down because the most important stuff is the games. I just don't. There has to be a better way than having these guys miss games. There has to be.
Well, let's go to some calls. 1-800-919-3776. Tim in Queens. Good morning, Tim. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, Dave, Rick. Pleasure to finally be on the show. First time caller, long time listener. What I would like to say is these NBA players, they're privileged, they're driven by money. So I think one of the ways to incentivize them to play in more games is, bonus checks or something like you play this many games, you get this much money. Some players do it because they're driven and they want to play, but other players, after they get to that level of, that stature where they feel that, they're just that much above the game or so, they want to pick and choose their spots when they want to shine and when they want to just be, but they always want to be loved.
But let me ask you this, Tim. Let me ask you this, okay? Hang on, Rick, one second. Yep. What happens if a guy is legitimately hurt? Like, you're gonna penalize them for not playing, but what happens if a guy, Kevin Durant, tears his Achilles? Now he can't play. Now what? Like, are you going to determine what injuries you're going to get paid for and what injuries or ailments you're not going to get paid for?
Well, that would be part of the negotiating process. So if you are legitimately hurt, then maybe you don't get all of that guaranteed. But if you meet a certain obligation or a certain amount of games that you were able to play prior to, then this is the percentage of what you can get. Instead of the full 100% up, you played up until, say, 40 games.
Yeah, the players aren't going to go for that.
They're never going to agree to that.
Players aren't going to go for that. And plus the GMs and owners, as pissed off as the owners are, though, like you're a GM, you're trying to win a championship. If I got a guy who has a legitimate concern that his hamstring is tight or something where, God forbid I'm pushing him to go out there, so or he's pushing himself to go out there because he wants to hit one of these stupid bonuses and ends up ripping his hamstring or something and I lose him for the rest of the season. You don't want that either. What I don't like is I've heard from a bunch of different people is that the reason why these guys sit out as opposed to just play like, if it's a load management day where they're dressed and they play, 15 minutes or whatever it is, they don't want to do that because it affects their averages. That's why they don't do it.
What? So they won't go out there and give you anything because they don't want their 27-point average to plummet down.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. That to me is very selfish.
Exactly right. Well, so is just showing up one day and feeling like you don't want to play and not playing.
Right.
It's also selfish.
Right. And it's a new thing too. This was never the way.
No, this was never the way because there was a pride to playing. To play in all these games.
Like, what would you, like, what would I mean, you
look
say?
At the this goalies. Is the last... Like, look at the goalies back in the day. Marty Brodeur played almost every single game.
I got to tell you, I never question the hockey player, ever. The hockey players play. That's what they do. It's in their DNA. Right? Shesterkin doesn't play, 20 games? I never judge him for that. I think baseball players, I feel the same thing. Right? How about Lindor down the stretch? Get you taking a... Nope. No, I'm not taking a day. And now this guy comes out here and says, and I'm not specifically blaming Kyrie. I think he's the mouthpiece for the players. It feels like basketball players are not as desperate to play all the time as other sports are, other athletes are.
Well, here's the thing, though, too. I think part of the problem is, he wants to talk about money incentivizing guys to play. It's that they make too much money already. They already have enough money. It's the problem.
Right.
Like, why are you going to be, you're desperate to play. Why are you so desperate to play? You already have enough money that you won't be able to spend.
The elite basketball player is making, 40, 50, $60 million?
50, yeah.
Yeah. So he's going to go out there and bust his butt to play 82 games or 80 games or 77 games? No.
He doesn't have to.
No, he doesn't have to.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.